Scripture reading for this evening's service comes from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and we'd like to read from verse 22 to 42. John 10, from verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest? Because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought him again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. And went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spoke of this man were true. And many believed on him there.
Congregation, in this hour of reflection upon the administration of the Holy Supper, we again in our Bibles turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, and our text is verse 18 tonight. Matthew 16, verse 18, where we read the Word of God in our text. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God's church built and protected. God's church built and protected. Whereupon the Lord builds. And how the Lord builds. And that the Lord protects. So in the first place, whereupon the Lord builds. In the second place, how the Lord builds. And in the third place, that the Lord protects. In a way, you could say that the history of this world is a history of building. Maybe some of you are builders yourself. When you think of the history of this world, the walls of Babel, palaces of Nineveh, the Senate or the Colosseum of Rome. What has been left over of these walls and palaces and cities? When you think of 9/11, that complete collapse of those two skyscrapers in Manhattan, New York, the World Trade Center. Oh, then we have that impression that our buildings, even the most beautiful, even the strongest buildings, they don't last. It all seems to vanish and to disappear. Like the psalmist says, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. We and our buildings do not have eternal life. And it's sad, but it's true, that everything will vanish, that nothing will last, except that one and only building, that building that is established on the rock, that building will last forever, will never perish. It's the building congregation of God's church. And all the believers are living stones in that building. And that building is built upon the rock. The rock is our Lord Jesus Christ. We know the context of this portion, Matthew 16. Jesus was asking that personal question. Do you remember? But you, who do you say that I am? And then Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus pronounced him blessed and added in verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thou art Peter. The name Peter in Greek means rock or stone. So Peter is the rock man. Jesus had asked, who do you say that I am? And then Peter had given the answer. Thou art the Christ. And then again, Jesus answered from his side, then I say that you are Peter. You are confessing me as the Christ. Then I say unto you that you are Peter, the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Does that mean that Jesus is actually saying that he is building his church upon Peter? Well, such an interpretation would be improbable. And if Jesus really meant to say that he is building his church upon Peter, then I think that he would have said it in another way. Then Jesus would have said, upon you I will build my church. Like he says in verse 19, and I will give unto thee, unto you, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. How could God's church ever be built upon an erring, fallible child of Adam? Peter nor Paul, or whatever apostle, can be the foundation of the church of God. No, Christ says, upon this rock. So Jesus no longer speaks about a person, Peter, but about a matter. God's church is built upon the rock. And the meaning of that rock appears to be the truth of Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, which Peter just a moment ago had confessed. It is as Jesus is saying, you are rightly called by name Peter, or stone, for you have confessed that mighty truth on which, as on a rock, I will build my church. In the marginal notes in our Dutch Bible, there it says that God builds his church on this confession, or upon me, whom you have confessed, for only Christ is the foundation of his church. Although Peter and other apostles concerning their doctrine can be called a foundation of the church. So when Christ says to Peter and the disciples, upon this rock I will build my church, we understand that Christ is referring to that truth that Peter had confessed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon that foundation, God's church is built. For no other rock can ever carry that great weight of man's sin and iniquities. No other foundation fits the need of fallen sinners. Think of what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The need and the misery of sinners is so great that no other foundation can suffice. Other foundations will collapse under that eternal weight of our sins, that weight of the curse of the law, that death eternal. Everything besides that one foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ is useless. And upon this rock I will build my church upon. And in this sermon of reflection, congregation, we really have to pay attention to that. Upon that rock. May I ask you that question? Why do some of you still build next to that rock? You have been brought so close to that one and only foundation gospel message brings that foundation so close, so nearby, so close by. The Word of God comes to us. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we are called to repent and to believe in Him. Why, O unconverted sinner, are you still relying upon something next to that one and only foundation? If you are not built upon that rock, if Christ isn't the foundation for your soul, then the gates of hell will surely prevail over you. Christ is that supreme builder of His church. A great work. A very expensive work. That foundation, that rock, was laid on a high price. It did cost Christ everything. The Holy Supper made us to remember that high price. His precious body was broken. His precious blood was shed on the tree of the cross. Oh, what a price. What a way He had to go. The Son of God had to adopt our nature. He had to become equal unto us. He had to become flesh and blood. He had to suffer and to die. On Calvary's cross He paid the price. He bare the burden, the wrath of God because of sin. Curse of the law. He was hanging there on that tree of the cross. No place for Him upon earth. No place for Him in heaven. So there was no foundation left over for Jesus when He cried out, "It is finished." What a work He had to perform. And so the Lord Jesus, He is that one and only foundation. His finished work in His death and in His resurrection. That is the foundation whereupon the Lord builds His church. But our text makes us also to think of how the Lord builds His church. For Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build My church." Upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the church of God is being built. I've seen it in developing countries that a foundation for a building was laid, but that they couldn't continue building on that foundation because of lack of funds or all other kinds of circumstances that hindered the continuation of erecting the building upon the foundation. And the foundation was laying there for years and years. It was even overgrown by all kinds of trees and other stuff. It was laying there idle and useless. But the laying of this foundation, the building on this rock, is not uncertain. Christ says, "I will build." How does God build His church? He builds His church stone by stone. Every stone on the precise place. God makes every stone that He builds on that foundation ready and fit. Without any noise, without much excitement, in holy reverence and silence, this work of building God's church is performed. It makes us to think, congregation, of the building of the Temple of Solomon. Every portion of that temple was carefully fabricated far away from the actual construction site. For that magnificent temple in Jerusalem had to be built in reverent silence. Neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool or iron was heard in the house. And both the beauty of the temple being built by Solomon in Jerusalem, and also that silent assemblage of the temple in Jerusalem, is a type of the Church of Christ. In this spiritual temple, each new believer is a costly stone, carefully cut from world's dark quarry, and then silently placed in that growing structure built on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes God builds His church quite fast. And then again, there are times that God seems to build His church quite slow. Sometimes we even can have the concern in our heart, is God still building His church? When we see churches run down, people leave church. When that spiritual decline is growing and growing, and when we even may see divisions and separations, then in our eyes, God seems to be so silent. And when we think of times past, then I understand that we sometimes can fear, is God still building His church? But remember what the Lord Jesus says. I will build my church. The good pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. Christ is that great builder. And it will not run Christ out of hand. And even, the Bible teaches us, even in the most worst times, God was building His church. In those awful days of Achab, God reserved unto Himself 7,000 men who had not bowed their knees to Baal. So let me warn you, congregation. No pessimism about God and about His church. Young people, also in our day and age, God is building His church. And there is expectation for younger generations. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. There is a positive expectation because Christ Jesus builds his church. For what is the church? The church is not a mortuary house. The church is the church of the living God. Christ is building his church. And he will continue to build his church. Also in Carterton. Also in New Zealand. I will. Christ does not say, I'm thinking about building my church. Or I hope. Or I plan. No, Christ says, I will. Christ builds his church according to that perfect and eternal plan of God. According to the decree of his Father. According to that plan, that eternal plan of God, Christ builds his church. Like an architect. An architect also uses a plan. Makes a drawing. The details are even in the drawing. So there is that plan of salvation in a triune God. An eternal architectural plan. And God knows the details. And the details will be worked out by that great builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the operation of the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist says, I know how firm and sure thy wondrous grace is founded, established in the skies by love that is unbounded. In building his church, congregation, God makes the most impossible choices. He chooses the most ugly stones, the most hard and raw stones. And he makes them fit for that foundation and for that building. He even chooses, boys and girls, the small stones. Not only large and big stones, also smaller stones are built on that foundation. Not only older sinners are brought unto repentance. Like we said in the youth group last night, most of God's people were converted in their youth. Your youth is the best time to seek the Lord. To ask for Christ. To pray for forgiveness. Lord Jesus is that great builder. And he makes everything that happens in this world to work together for good in erecting that building upon that firm foundation. Even the decisions of presidents and parliaments are in his hand. The agenda of the world is determined in heaven. And everything has to work out together for good so that God will build his church. Upon that foundation. In building his church, God makes use of his servants. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, they are called laborers together with God. to labor together with God in building God's church upon the rock. Like the canons of Dort say, and that man may be brought to believe, God mercifully sends messengers of these most joyful tidings to whom he will, and at what time he pleases, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. So in building his church, God uses the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, the pastoral work of pastors, elders, deacons. In building his church, God uses youth workers and evangelists and teachers. He uses your mom. He uses your dad. Your grandma, your grandpa, who bow down their knees and fold their hands and pray for you and for your repentance. So God will use people. God will make use of men to build his church. But his power and his mercy and his spirit is doing the real work in the heart of the sinner. Paul has planted. Apollos is moderate. But God gave the increase. So God makes use of people. But God does not depend upon people in building his church. God builds his church very accurate, stone by stone, like I said. Sometimes you see that work of construction, then complete buildings are erected in 1, 2, or 3 days. Whole parts of a building are put in place at one moment. But God builds his church in that classic way of building, stone by stone. That makes us congregation to think of the craftsmanship of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses the hammer and the trowel of the Word of God. And he builds with the cement of saving faith. And every stone of that building must be excavated out of that deep stone pit of Adam's fall. But God will cut you loose from sin and Satan and death. By nature, we are all unfit for that building of God. We need that great an internal change of heart and life. The Lord Jesus called that change of heart and life regeneration. We stand in need of a regeneration. Because without regeneration, no one will see the kingdom of God. And Christ does all the work, that great work of regeneration. Like it was in the Nicene Creed, by that living Spirit that comes from the Father and the Son. God performs that change of heart, that change of life, that regeneration. He awakens sinner out of that sleep of carelessness, and he breaks loose the ties of unbelief and unwillingness, And he will open your eyes so that you begin to see your lost state. Have you seen it? Your lost state. That by nature, as you are born, that you are without God. That you are without Christ. That you are without hope. Oh, the Lord Jesus, that great builder. He touches the heart, the stony heart, and he gives a heart of flesh through that operation of that living spirit. And we see our guilt, and we begin to feel our misery. You will see especially that you have no foundation for the house of your soul. That at the best you have been building on sandy ground. That you're unconverted. That you have no God for your heart. No surety for your soul. That you have no life in yourself. That you miss. That you lack that foundation for eternity. And God will give a big strike through all your attempts to lay a foundation in your tears and in your prayers and in your experiences. You have to lose the battle. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? Then you have to confess that you cannot build, that you cannot achieve, that you need that one and only foundation. And then so comforting, congregation, to listen to what Jesus says. No, it's not you. It's not about you. You're not a builder. I am the builder. The Lord Jesus says, not you, but I will build. That's the gospel in this evening hour. Christ, the Son of the living God. He builds his church. In Christ, that precious cornerstone is laid. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And that foundation is strong enough and is wide enough. There is still a place on that foundation. Fearing sinners will be built upon that solid foundation. Unforgettable. And the Lord Jesus reveals himself unto your heart as that solid and firm foundation that he is willing and that he is strong, that there is room enough for the chiefest of sinners. And he makes you to sink down and to rely and to rest by faith upon that solid foundation. Because being built on that one and only rock, that foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, is nothing else than believing in Jesus. Believing in Jesus, congregation, is actually the same as being built as a poor and a needy sinner upon that firm and roomy foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ. How blessed to rely upon him and to experience that he carries us, that he bears our sin, that he paid the price. Such a blessing. with the awareness of faith to lay all the load of your soul upon this foundation. And by the exercise of faith to experience that this foundation is strong enough to carry us and to carry the burden of the weight of our sins and our iniquities. I will build my church. It's my church, says Jesus. And all those who are built upon that rock, upon that foundation, if you by grace are a stone built on that foundation, you are not your own. It's not our building. It's his building. I will build my church. It is mine, says Jesus. And therefore, think it over. In reflecting upon the administration of the Holy Supper, you should not be your own. You have to be his building. If you confess his name this morning at his table, then you have to show in your life that you're not your own, but that you are his building. That he paid the price. That he is your foundation. That he cut you loose out of that pit of our deep fall in Adam. And that by his Spirit, he brought you as a fallen sinner. That he saved you and that he made you to stand and to rest upon that firm foundation, my building. Then we are called to live Christ and to proclaim Christ and to love and to adore Christ and to trust and to rely Christ. For thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and upon this rock, upon this precious truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But let us now first sing, congregation, from Psalter 241, the stanzas 1, 2, 7, and 8. My song forever shall record the tender mercies of the Lord. Thy faithfulness will I proclaim, and every age shall know thy name. Psalter 241, the stanzas 1, 2, 7, and 8. that God builds and that God also protects. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Those gates of hell, congregation, represent Satan and his legions storming through those gates of hell to attack, and if they could, to destroy God's church. And there's something threatening. There's something terrifying in these words. There is that enmity. There is that hatred of Satan and hell. Those gates of hell. Oh, through the gates of hell, Satan brought sin and death into this world. He's God's great enemy. And he tries to attack Christ and his mystical body, that building established on the rock. Satan and the gates of hell, they have for more than 6,000 years been fighting against God and his people. And he uses persecution and affliction and all kinds of distress. He uses pharaohs and Roman emperors. He uses Herods and Hitlers. He uses modern devices like media, materialism, gates of hell. Maybe those gates of hell were attacking you and your soul after you attended the table of the Lord and proclaimed and showed the death of Christ. It's a reality in the life of a believer, those gates of hell. The power of Satan and sin and death. God's church is like that burning bush. And each and every Christian has to fight that battle. Satan is attacking that building, built upon that firm foundation. And Satan tries to attack Christ in attacking his people. For Satan knows that he is unable to keep the church of Christ out of heaven. But then he turns it the other way around. And he will try to keep that heavenly joy and that heavenly peace out of our hearts. Oh, what a battle, what an enmity, those gates of hell. If that battle is a reality in your life, then I would say that's a good sign. Because if you still belong to Satan, sin and world, oh, then God's enemy and the enemy of God's people will not lay the slightest obstacle in your life. But as soon as a sinner begins to seek after God and to cry after Christ, as soon as a sinner begins to desire those heavenly blessings, then Satan and gates of hell will be on their feet, and he will attack you, and he will make you fear that the gates of hell will prevail. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Even David, he feared, I shall now perish one day by the hands of Saul. Satan knows his time, and he knows his way how to attack you. He may sift you as the wheat. He may tempt us by elevating our pride. Or maybe, on the other hand, bring us to despondency. He comes with the temptations of the world and the lust of the flesh. And sure, congregation, that wouldn't be any problem if we were able to give strong resistance. And if we were able to cast down these imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. But so often, we are weak, aren't we? And we are lazy. And faith is so imperfect. And we lack that focus on Christ and that foundation and relying upon Christ and Christ alone. And besides that, our strength is so small and the cross is so heavy and the pathway of life can be so difficult and so dark. Who will persevere against the gates of hell? Jesus says, I will not only build my church, I will also protect my church. He is builder and protector at the same time. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What a precious promise. And this promise is so precious for people. No, not for lukewarm people like the Laodiceans, but to Christian soldiers who go in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. For such a once, this is such a precious promise. Visible churches like Ephesus may come to nothing, but that true church of Christ will never, never die. Therefore, I call upon you tonight, congregation. You need to be a stone on that rock. Is Christ the builder of your heart and of your life? He first has to be your builder. And then he will also be your protector. And we sure need that protection. But to have that surety, you have to be built as a poor and a needy sinner on that rock of our salvation. Oh, seek to become a living member. And if you did become a living member, oh, show it in your life. Show it that he is your builder, but that he is also your protector. Then the bush can burn like Moses saw, but will not be consumed. Every member of Christ's church shall be brought to glory in spite of all our falls and failures and shortcomings, in spite of world, flesh and devil. But Christ will bring his church into glory. No member of that true Church of Christ congregation shall ever be cast away. And do you know what is the secret? Secret is to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is His body. His body. And no bone of His body will ever be broken. The church is His bride, cherished and betrothed by the Lord Jesus. And He will never separate from His beloved bride. The church is His flock. And He is the good shepherd. And He gave His life for His sheep. And He gives them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of His hands. And therefore, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Somebody asked Martin Luther, "Where can I find the church of God?" And he answered, "On the strong shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, be of good courage. Rely on that rock, on those strong shoulders of the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He carries His church and brings them into eternal life. So in heaven, there will be no empty seats in heaven. There will be no crown unused. There will be no harp unattended. God will be all and in all. But here, you have to fight the battle. Not in your own strength, but relying on Him, that supreme builder and protector of His church. And that you will sing, "Our God upholds us in the strife. To us He grants eternal life and saves from desolation. He hears the needy when they cry. He saves their souls when death draws nigh. This God is our salvation." Amen. Let us now say thanks. Almighty and most gracious God, we thank Thee also for this word of reflection, Christ, the builder and the protector of His church. Wilt Thou apply it to our hearts? Wilt Thou be the after preacher, and that Thy word may be near and dear unto us as we have to continue? Thou knowest our future. Wilt Thou be with each and every one of us? Wilt Thou build those who are still not upon that foundation, upon that solid rock? And wilt Thou more and more give Thy people that surety and that comfort of being built upon that rock of our salvation? Lord, remember the congregation, the brothers of the consistory. Thou knowest what we all stand in need of. Wilt Thou also grant journey mercies in this week of traveling? Thou knowest who will stay behind and who have to travel. Wilt Thou be with us? And that in the forgiveness of all our sins and shortcomings, Thy name, Thy holy name, will be glorified for now and everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.